Hey everybody, this is Dino Wizard and I'm coming to you with my new music review show. I'm here with TG and we are doing Drunken Mustache Reviews. How's it going, TG?
It's going all right. It's going all right.
All right. All right.
All right, going, all right, all right.
Brought to you today by Matthew McConaughey. All right. No. We are legit today, brought to you by the Royal Dutch Cocaine Factory. Place where you get all your cocaine and cocaine accessories. Anyway, today we're going to be reviewing three albums. I think since this is our first show, I'm just going to go into a brief summary of what we're going to do here. We're a couple of metalheads. We really like our music a little heavier than most. And we decided, you know, we wanted to take a step back and look at some different types of music. So get some vibes on some different stuff. So every week we're going to review an album we think we're going to like, a pop album, and an album we don't think we're going to like. Now, the albums might be new albums, really old albums, but we're going to give everything a shot, and we'd like to kind of throw out there our thoughts and opinions and just generally have a good time. Anyway, we're going to start off this week. TG picked most of the albums this week. We're going to start off with Emperor Sand, the new album by Mastodon. Now, Emperor Sand is a is going to be their seventh studio album, TG?
Yeah. It's like their seventh. Dropped just at the end of March, just this year.
And it's a big impact, especially in Georgia. It actually came out of a Kennesaw recording studio, so this is really big for us since we're both Georgia natives. And but I found that the concept was actually pretty heavy, considering it was basically inspired by like some the deaths by cancer of some of the band members. So it's kind of got like a heavy. It's already starts off very dark tone, kind of sad, sorrowful tone. TG, you've been following Mastodon for a long time now. What's your thoughts on the album itself?
This is actually the first Mastodon album I've listened to in any kind of real depth since 2009's Crack the Sky. And it's not that I like ever stopped liking Mastodon. I mean, I'm still a fan. I'd still love to see them live. I always seem to miss them every time they come through Atlanta, ironically enough. So when I was listening to the first couple of, tracks on this album, I'm sitting here, you know, banging my head, really, you know, really digging it. I mean, it's good stuff. I mean, it kind of grabs you from the very beginning, but, I was asking myself, man, why did I ever really kind of fall away from these guys? I mean, the last album of theirs I bought, it was good. It was solid. It was, really well-written material. And, it kind of threw me off for a few minutes until I got about halfway through the album. And yeah, the whole album is great. Every single song, it's the same trademark Mastodon kind of sludgy acid rock influenced metal that, you know, everybody who's a fan of theirs is into and knows and loves. But I kind of started to realize every song kind of flows the same. I mean, it's every single song kind of starts to sound the same. And normally that's a bad thing. Normally that kind of strikes me as a bad thing. But in this case, I mean, it worked. It worked.
I think I'm going to take the opposite side on that. I mean, you touched pretty heavily on something I was going to touch on anyway, that I think a lot of the album, I'm not going to say all of the album, but like the first half of the album, I felt like I was basically listening to the same song over and over and over again. Like, I could tell.
I'm in agreement with you on that one.
I could tell there were different lyrics, and I could tell, but that was because I've listened to a lot of this stuff, and so I can tell some of the small differences. But if I was just like some random person on the street and I started listening to this album, I would really wonder where one song starts and one song ends. And yeah, that's not really a great thing for this album. Now, granted, I did like a lot of the songs on the back half of the album. I think like Jaguar God is the last song. That song, oh man, I really liked that one. It's just there's not as much of that throughout. A lot of it's kind of the same stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah. And I mean, and like I said, when I first picked this album up, I was wondering why I stopped listening to them. And towards the end of the album, I figured it out. It's because really this album isn't anything new. It doesn't have anything that they've never done before. And it honestly sounds just like their last two albums. I mean, I haven't heard the entirety of Once More Around the Sun or what was the one right before that? The Hunter. I haven't heard the entirety of those albums, but you know, I've heard a couple of songs off each. They haven't really done anything new in the last half of the previous decade, so it's a good album. I mean, they've kind of fallen into their niche. It's what they do, and they're good at it. This would be a great album to throw in the car when you're going down the road with some friends with you. So, I don't know. I still really like the album. It didn't bore me, but yeah, it's nothing hugely new.
Yeah, I'm going to be slightly more pessimistic. I agree with you. I don't think it's a bad album necessarily, and I think that given where Mastodon is at this point in time, I don't think there's anything wrong with throwing out, you know, I guess an album that kind of has the same sound, if that makes any sense. It's not like they got to put out an album with a new sound every year, and I don't necessarily think people would want that anyway. Mastodon's got a well-known vibe and kind of a structure to their songs, and I think that's...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
That's what people listen to them for anyway, and people aren't going to be looking to come to them, you know, if they're trying to get into the metal scene or anything like that. That said, I mean, as not a huge Mastodon fan, this is not the album. This album is not going to like kick me on to them. I'm definitely wouldn't buy it, and I probably wouldn't have listened all the way through had I not been doing it for this show. Granted, I was happy that I listened to it all the way through because a lot of the songs on the back half of the album significantly better than the ones on the first half.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. The closing track, Jaguar God, and the opening track are probably the two standouts for me.
Yeah, if I had to give it a scale rating, I would say, and I listened to it a few times because I honestly felt bad, it got a little higher in my mind, but if I had to give it a scale rating, it would be somewhere between a 6 and a 7.
I can agree with that because Mastodon is supposed to be a progressive metal band, and you know, the thing with it all kind of running together with one song, usually when a progressive metal act or any progressive act does that, it comes off as more one long song with like, you know, a combination of movements within it, you know, almost like a more complex composition. And that wasn't the case here. It was like you said, listening to the same thing kind of over and over at one point.
Yeah, and like you pointed out, if you like Mastodon and if you like metal, then that's fine. It's a good album. It's not a great album. It's not an album that's going to maybe blow anybody's mind, but if you like Mastodon, you'll like this album. If you don't like Mastodon, probably not going to like this album.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, I you know, it's funny because, again, when we talked about the opening, we were expecting this to be the one that we really liked. But, you know, I think it's just kind of a above-average, middle-of-the-road kind of stuff. But that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. That said, I still would love to catch them live. Like, even if some of this stuff didn't really jump out at me playing from the album, I imagine a lot of it would be pretty fun live.
Well, I think Mastodon, if I remember correctly, I've only caught them live once, but they put on a pretty good live performance. And
I have yet to have the chance to catch them live, so I got to do that at least once.
All right, but moving on to our next album, we've got. So it's stylized. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to like yell it or something, but it's damn the 4 studio album from Kendrick Lamar. And by the way, I was thrown off when you said Kendrick Lamar. I was not very familiar with the artist, and for some reason I thought he was an actual pop star, I realized afterwards that you picked this album because it was popular. But yeah, when I turned on the first song, DNA, I was like, whoa, this is not at all what I was expecting.
Yeah, I suggested this one mainly because, mainly because, like you said, it's popular, but also I've heard a lot of really good things about it. So I'm like, you know, there's got to be a reason people like it.
Oh, well, I mean, I picked up on the reason right away, but going back to it, this is Kendrick's fourth studio album. And I pulled up the Wikipedia pages on all of the songs that we're going to be talking about, or all the albums that we're going to be talking about, rather. This one didn't really have a lot to say. It was just kind of like, yeah, it's a good album. All right. So I kind of took it at its word, but the more I listened to it, the more I really liked it. TG, what were your thoughts on the album?
I was kind of surprised. I actually I'm not big into rap at all, first off. I don't actually own – I don't think I own any rap albums at all. So it's kind of hard for me to kind of contextualize this album a little bit, but I really enjoyed it. And that surprised me a little bit because, like I said, this is pretty far out of my usual style of music. I didn't get some of the I didn't get a lot of the lyrical references because, I mean, there were a lot of it's kind of hard to explain especially if you don't understand it like I apparently don't. But there were a lot of religious references in several of the songs, and there were a few points where I felt like I needed to crack open a Bible in order to kind of get what he was getting at. But if I have to say anything about Kendrick Lamar and this album in general, like, the guy knows how to write some verses. I mean, the guy has rhythm that I wish I had back when I was in my band, because the style of music we were doing, like, I can't sing. We did the whole you know, death metal deathcore thing, and you know, if you have a good sense of rhythm with your writing, you're going to go a lot better than someone who doesn't. So I got to at least give him that if I don't know anything else. The last song in particular, I think it was Duckworth. That one was probably my favorite off the track just because of the story it told. I don't know if you read the lyrics with that one when you were listening, but if I got it right, it was basically about how his dad worked at a KFC and found out some dude was about to rob it. And it didn't exactly explain what he – maybe it did and I just didn't catch it, but it kind of hinted that he did something really generous that convinced the would-be robber to not do it. And then this guy ended up in a recording studio with Kendrick when they were both adults, and it kind of went on to hammer on the fact that if the guy had ended up robbing it, he may have wound up in jail for the rest of his life. He may have killed Kendrick's dad in the course of the robbery, and, you know, who knows what Kendrick's future. So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was a really cleverly written track, and, I mean, to kind of sum up my thoughts, I'll just say what a friend of mine said when he found out I was listening to it. He was like, dude, the beats slap hard, and I feel like that's a really – weird way to put it, but you know, I get the sentiment and I agree.
Yeah, I had to listen to it on YouTube because I don't have the greatest access to the album, so I had to listen to like the music videos that I had access to and then get some other tracks elsewhere. But one of the posts on YouTube, one of the comments said something along the lines of like, oh, Kendrick Lamar, I'm trying to get the Mogatu voice. Kendrick Lamar so hot right now. And I was like, well, I can't deny it's 100% accurate. No, I mean, I'm like you. I didn't get all of the stuff. I didn't look at the lyrics so closely, but there was some stuff like, I think in the intro to one of his songs, he talks about like, if the Crips and the Blood stopped fighting tomorrow, that he'd be getting a gunshot or something. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but that's some really hard stuff to say, I guess. That sounds pretty intimidating. But, yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of varied themes in there. Obviously, you got the standard kind of rap stuff where it's like, it seems like you got to have this derogatory thing in every rap album where it's like, I'm so great, I got women, I got cash, da 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 da. Like, okay, we get it. But then there was a lot of stuff like, you know, dealing with alcoholism. The Duckworth song you were talking about with his dad, you know. It hit on some heavy themes. I was really kind of impressed. I took away a lot from that. I mean, you know, aside from, you know, feeling guilty to be a white person, which is just a standard thing when I listen to rap music. So, yeah, I was very impressed. And then I guess, like you said, it made me realize how talented some of these rappers are. I was actually thinking about this in a shower after I listened to the Mastodon thing and after I listened to the Kendrick Lamar album. I was like, you know, Mastodon had a vibe to go off of, and they were working off of that. Kendrick, all of his songs were different. He had like a different tone setup, yeah, and a different like tempo, a different, you know, vibe, but he made it work every time. And it's like, that's got to be hard for a guy to, as a rapper, where you kind of just have to work from bare bones to come up with something new each time. That's got to be really hard. And I was shocked at how well he pulled it off. Granted, I think the Wikipedia page credits a lot more people than just him, but that's still really impressive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if nothing else, I can really appreciate the writing that went into this.
Dude's got a lot of talent. I wasn't expecting to like this as much as I did when I first turned it on, but yeah, I definitely liked it. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way like to buy it or anything, but you know, if it came on the radio or something, I would gladly keep listening to it. I sure wouldn't switch it off or anything. For me, I kind of viewed this one as being more of like a 7 or an 8. If I get to 9, that's where I'm definitely buying the album. 8, I might buy the album. I think that has more to do with the fact that it's just not my genre, though. If it was my genre, this would be probably much, much higher. But
yeah,
7 or an 8, just because it's just a little outside my field house.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't really like doing the whole number thing, because I don't really follow that very well. But as far as like something from different from what I normally listen to, yeah, I liked this. I guess I'll just go with you'll go with a number rating, and I'll go with a thumbs up, thumbs down, and I'll give this one a thumbs up.
Okay. How about this? How many beers would you have to really appreciate this album?
I mean, I listened to it completely sober, and I think I appreciated it pretty well. But
I think that's a reasonable way to take it. If you were sober and you were liking it, then obviously it was a pretty good album.
Like I said, it was especially for something that is way out of my usual range of listening. I mean, this was pretty good.
Okay, well, with that said, we're going to move on to our last album, and this was the one that the only one that I decided on, by the way, because I had to find an album we would both dislike. So my sister actually recommended it. She just said the U2 album that everybody had on their iPods a while ago, and yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I don't even remember what that one was called, but... the album's called Songs of Innocence by YouTube. YouTube, sorry, not YouTube.
YouTube, the album, that would be fucking interesting.
That would be all over the place, and there would be far too many cats.
Cats are the best. Fuck you, buddy.
So back to YouTube. This is their 13th studio album. It was actually came out...
Asked for!
It came out a long time ago, but I'm gonna be frank. This like Wikipedia article on it is like 15 pages long, which is 15 pages longer than it needs to be.
15 pages more than I give a fuck.
Oh, there's our classic TG comedy at its finest. Basically, for those of you who don't remember, U2 paid to have this song uploaded onto everybody's iPhone for free so that everybody got to listen to it. And I don't know of how many millions of people have an iPhone or an iPad or an i whatever out there, but I think a lot of people were demanding to have it removed within the first couple of weeks, just to clear up some of their data, if not out of frustration. So obviously we're both metal guys. And I think we both struggled to get through this album, but I'll start off with you. I'll start off with you, TG. What were your thoughts as you went through it?
Okay, as I so eloquently put it, this is the album that nobody fucking asked for. Christ, the whole time I'm listening to this, all I can think about is Apple commercials and the South Park caricature of Bono where he's going, yeah, and I'm like, just make it stop. Honestly, like, the album isn't... It's not, like, offensive to listen to. You know, I've certainly heard far worse music. I just can't figure out who their actual fan base is. I don't know anyone that actually considers themselves to be a diehard fan of U2. Like, I know plenty of people that are, say, you know, diehard Coldplay fans or diehard Killers fans. And by the way, those are two bands that I don't think U2 could make up their mind who they wanted to be through this album. And in fact, it was more like they were trying to be the Killers trying to be U2. And I'm just kind of going to go off on a tangent here for a sec. Bono can't sing. Like, nobody ever says that, but Bono can't sing.
Thank you.
I kind of had something prepared for this because this album pissed me off. Like, it's... You've got U2, supposedly one of the bigger rock acts of this day and age, and the most offensive thing about this album is that it's completely inoffensive. Like, this is the album for someone whose favorite spice, whose favorite flavor is mayonnaise. I mean, the album has absolutely no edge whatsoever, which is really fucking ironic when you consider that their guitar player calls himself the Edge. I mean, come on. And I guess the final thought I have for this album is, shit. I mean, you can't, they've got Bono turned so high up in the mix and the production is so squeaky clean and commercially perfect that they could have replaced the rest of the band with a bunch of synth pads and you wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. It could have just been the Bono show and just get it over with.
I'm so glad you touched
me. In case you can't tell, I didn't like this album.
I think we both had points during the week where we contacted each other and we were like, I can't get through this album, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. like we were having existential breakdowns about how we were supposed to get through this album. Yeah, you actually touched on two of the things that I was going to bring up. First off, though, according to the Wikipedia page, which I'm still on for some reason, it's not they were actually trying to mimic the Ramones and the Clash. And I didn't really get that vibe. Certainly not the Ramones from this album. But
I didn't get that at all either.
Like maybe there was something I didn't catch in there. Maybe I just haven't listened enough to the Ramones. But what I do know of them, it's like I didn't feel that at all from what this was going on. And like you said, So okay, so I'm gonna go through what I had tried to line up anyway. I didn't realize it was Bono. I don't really do a lot of research into who these people are, but yeah, you're right. Bono is a big singer. The singing. I was just going to say before I even knew that, the singing is what killed it for this album for me. Is like it just murdered it and buried it in a hole. Because when the songs initially started up, when the album started up and I was listening to the first song, there's kind of like a lead-in where there's music playing. And I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad. I don't know why I didn't like U2 in the first place. And then I started hearing the singing and I was like, oh, God, this is why I hated U2 so long. It's the singing is all over the place. Like one moment it'll start on tempo and then all of a sudden the tempo will speed up outside of what the song's doing. The singing will go up in pitch. It'll go down in pitch. It'll go outside of whatever the current key is. It's just a mess. It's really weird. And I don't listen to a lot of Bono, but if that's what he's like in all of his music, then yeah, I don't see that going very well. And then, yeah, as you also pointed out, TG, a lot of the songs, you know, we talked about Mastodon being repetitive, but a lot of the songs were literally just like you could have linked the songs on this album were very much you could have pulled up a beat on like a synthesizer, like one of those keytars that they have, and it basically let it run, and it would have gotten the same effect out of it, as far as I was concerned. And this is a thing that I really struggled to get out of the album. I mean, I also didn't look at the lyrics, but I think something that U2 also struggles with is they feel very preachy. And I guess part of that's because
they
downplay the music and they upload the audio so much or the vocals so much. But gosh, I don't want to listen to a song that's basically just talking to me. Like I don't want to learn some magical lesson about how if we follow your teachings, the whole world will be better. I don't care. I didn't come to listen to that crap. I didn't come here to get a school lesson from you about how to make the world a better place. That's not what I'm here to listen for. I thought that was very frustrating to go through as well. I mean, there was so much about this album that frustrated me. And it's kind of weird when you go into an album and you're like, clearly other people like this stuff because U2 is popular, but I couldn't find a whole lot of redeeming qualities to harp on this thing. Like, I really struggle to find one positive thing to say about this. Like, yeah, I guess I could tell it was a rock album. It barely fit the criteria. I don't know, man.
I'm sitting here looking at the commercial performance on the Wikipedia page. According to Wikipedia, it only sold 101,000 copies in North America, which for a band as big as U2 supposedly is, that ain't that much. I kind of feel like the only reason, if you can really call them relevant, I'm not sure why they still have such a big presence. I think it's because they keep getting paid to do things like Apple commercials, which I still think it's hilarious the backlash they got for being given to all iTunes users for free. Like, can you imagine like people bitching about getting free shit? I mean, it's not even like I kind of have to side with U2 on this side of the thing. Like, I know this is like 3 years later, but I mean, it's not that fucking hard to delete shit from iTunes.
No.
But then again, I'm going to offend some people here and say, I guess that's a typical Mac user for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck.
Well, now you pissed off U2 fans even more, because I would imagine the majority of them are Mac users, too. Oh, gosh. No, when I looked at a lot of the comments, like, other people were, like, a lot of artists were pissed off with the concept that they were giving out money for free. Like, it devalues the music. But as I listened to this album, I was like, nothing could make me devalue this anymore. I don't like it. I was shocked looking at some of the reviews on this. Like, Rolling Stones gave this thing a 5-star. And I'm like, who in Rolling Stones thought this was 5-star worthy? My God. I know you don't do the ratings thing, but I'm going to stick with my rating. I think this is like a 3 or a 4. Like, I wouldn't just blatantly like shut it off if it came on the radio, and I wouldn't be tortured if it like came on the as elevator music or something. But you would have a hard time convincing me to listen to this album again. I was not a fan at all.
Yeah, I'll admit I'm extremely biased because I've never liked U2, so they would have had to have done something really impressive to make me like their music. But that being said, I'm gonna give them 3 thumbs down and 1 of these. That wasn't as big as I thought it'd be, but let's just go with that. I disappoint myself.
I think people got the message.
Yes.
Yeah, your mediocre burping performance, I'm sorry to say. No, yeah, I mean, yeah, I really want to blast this album more, but I feel like that would piss people off.
If we keep it up, we run the risk of becoming like the album itself.
Fair enough. All right.
Repetitive and derivative.
But I thought that was our tagline.
Shit.
Anyway, thank you all for listening to our first episode. Where there's going to be more in the future. If you'd like to send in recommendations for albums to listen to, send us some comments to the YouTube post. And until next week, keep rocking on.
Don't do anything we wouldn't do.
Like cocaine or cocaine accessories.
I do cocaine, baby!
And on that note, good night, everybody.